Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, November 26th. And this week, we're continuing our discussion on Luther's Small Catechism. Yesterday, we got a little bit of a pretty good history behind the catechism. What is what was Luther's reason for writing the Small Catechism and why he chose to include what he did in it? And today, we're going to take another look at it, another perspective. Can you use the Small Catechism as a handbook for family prayer? We're going to get into that here in just a little bit with the Thompson family. So looking forward to that discussion today. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can do so. 314-821-0850 here in St. Louis, or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us. Send your questions to family@kfuo.org. Want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin and the programs they have to offer, just go to our website, kfuo.org, look for the sponsors section, click on the CUW logo, and that'll take you to their page. You can find out where they're located and all the programs they have to offer. Go check it out, kfuo.org. Well, joining us in studio this morning, and on the phone too, actually, we have the most of the Thompson family, not all, most of the Thompson family, Reverend Dr. Mart Thompson, pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Peavely, Missouri, and also adjunct professor at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Welcome, Pastor Thompson.
Thank you, Andy. It's great to be back with you.
Good to have you back. You've been on a number of times and a number of programs here. Let's see, making their radio debut, the family Thompson. Now, I guess I should I go in order of age?
Sure. Let's see. Sounds like a good plan.
Okay, so that's Marie, right?
That's correct.
Marie is joining us by phone. Good morning, Marie Swenson.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking some time to join us by phone. Now, you are in Indiana, correct? I think we might
have... Very snowy.
What's that?
I said, yes, it's very snowy.
Oh, it's very snowy. Well, the sun is shining here, so enjoy the snow for us.
I will.
And then who's next? Adam Thompson joining us in studio. Adam, and where are you? You're home for a Thanksgiving break to visit with the family, but where are you residing these days?
I'm currently in Blacksburg, Virginia. I'm vicaring at Good Shepherd Lutheran in Roanoke and with their campus ministry that they sponsor there for the next year. So
glad to have you in studio today.
Thank you for having me.
And I always want to call you Willie, but I know it's Will now. Will Thompson, thanks for coming to the studio today. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in your life these days.
Yeah, well, Willie's just fine. So I'm still okay with that. And I am a senior at Mizzou, so I graduate in May. I'm studying history and philosophy and trying to figure out the next step before law school. I'm looking into possibly doing some mission work.
Excellent. Excellent. So the Thompson family is all... busy these days, staying on going in all kinds of directions. We have one more member of the Thompson family who couldn't be with us today, and that is Mrs. Thompson. She's been a guest on the show before too. It's the Thompsons are regulars here at Faith
right.
and Family, so we certainly will want to mention Cheryl Thompson for as part of the Thompson family. Now, our topic today is the Small Catechism. Can it serve as a handbook for family prayer? And the reason we got the whole family here today is because it has been a part of the Thompson family. Pastor Thompson, when we started talking about this topic, you were just chomping at the bit, ready to talk about it, eager to talk about it. Why? Why is it so something that's so important to you?
Well, it has been a true blessing to our family. When we were introduced to this approach to family devotions in using the catechism as kind of a basic outline for that, and having practiced it in our own family since our children were infants all the way on up till continuing to do it today as empty nesters. As Cheryl and I reflect back on the life in our family and raising our children, and we're so proud of our children. We're really blessed with the strong faith and life, Christian life that they live. And we really point to the daily devotions, which were not very lengthy, 10 to 15 minutes a day, using the catechism as the basic outline for that, as probably the single most important, along with a lot of others, but probably the single most important feature of them growing up in the faith and understanding the gospel and their relationship with their Lord and their life of prayer, that kind of thing.
You bring up a number of great points, and the first one I want to tap into here is that really what kind of prompted this discussion to begin with, and this actually this whole theme for faith and family over the next few months, and the small catechism, is that when families think about praying together or family devotions, they always think, man, it's too hard. It's going to take too much time. It's right. hard to set it as a regular pattern. Mm-hmm. And you pointed out it 10, 15 minutes is really what it takes. And it's something that is really quite simple.
Right. And I think Luther had that in view. And I know you discussed this yesterday. He really envisioned the catechism to be a prayer book that was very practical, mm-hmm. Not to be a return to monastic life where, you know, you're just praying all day and that kind of thing, but as equipping you for your daily life, carrying out your vocations. And it's very economical, if you will, time-wise, and also gives you wonderful doctrinal content, mm-hmm. but done in a very practical way that applies to daily life.
And a good point that it doesn't take us back to the monastic life. And I think Adam's very happy about that he doesn't have to be a monk. So, so how, what did Luther, you pointed out that Luther has prepared this as a very practical instrument, a very practical tool. What did Luther indicate to us, to his readers, how this might be a practical, okay. or what did he have to say about it?
Yeah, and before the boys maybe share some of their stories about our devotional life in the Thompson household growing up, I'll tell you where that story began for us. Cheryl and I both grew up in homes that had very good spiritual disciplines and going to church and Sunday school, and our families sought to have devotions. Maybe not as consistently as our parents would have liked at times, but they did make an effort at that. Mm-hmm. But when I was a young pastor, I was introduced to Reverend Dr. Ken Corby, who had taught at Valparaiso and was an adjunct professor at both seminaries. And he had wonderful insights on the catechism as a prayer book. And I was blessed to be able to take a class that he offered through one of the seminaries out in Flathead Lake, Montana. And that class in the early 90s was very important for me and for several other pastors. Peter Bender in his Concordia Catechetical Academy was in that class, John Pless, who's a professor at the Fort Wayne Seminary. Mm-hmm. And we all benefited tremendously from the insights we got from Dr. Corby. But the most important one for us was how it led to this practice of praying the catechism. And so Cheryl and I sought to do that from little on up. And it was a revelation to us to find out that was Luther's intention. And I have a quote here, if I sure. may read it. This is from Luther's exposition on Psalm 117, where he gives insight into the way he approached the catechism. Here he writes, "I am so often aware of temptation, and even to this day can scarcely guard myself sufficiently against it. This I confess openly as an example to any who are interested. Although I am an old doctor and preacher, and am so much more versed in scriptures, or at least ought to be, than those wise ones who attack me," you know, Luther was always under attack, it seemed like, "I must still grow daily," he writes, "like a child, saying aloud early every morning the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and such precious psalms and sayings as I choose, just as the children are now taught to do in the catechism. Although I have daily to study the scripture and to fight the devil, I may not say in my heart, 'You know the Lord's Prayer, you know the Ten Commandments, you know the Creed by heart, etc.' No, I must go on learning every day and remain a pupil of the catechism. I feel how noticeably it helps me, and I find my experience that the word of God can never be exhausted, but that it is really true, as Psalm 47 says, 'His understanding is infinite.'" And so you can see there Luther's his personal practice mm-hmm. of praying the catechism, and I liken it to sometimes when I'm teaching families at our congregation this, It's by reciting those basic elements, and for Luther, kind of the big three in the catechism were the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. It's like an athlete, because I like sports, an athlete who performs well will always do his preparation before playing the game, and that usually involves drills of certain skills that involve executing in the game. So like a basketball player will go through his dribbling drills and his shooting drills and those kind of things so that when the game comes, he is on his game in those things. And the catechism, I think, for Luther and for us kind of functions in that way at its barest level of just rehearsing in our mind the basic mentality of the Christian life, the worldview centered in faith, where the Ten Commandments shows the need for faith, and the Creed, the gift of faith, and the Lord's Prayer, the life of faith.
All the things that when we read through Luther's preface to the Small Catechism yesterday, that all those are the things that he said were missing when he visited the parishes and the people. All the things that you don't know the Creed, you don't know the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments. And here he says, in the quote that you just read, he doesn't even know them well enough himself.
Right.
So
meaning, in faith, mm-hmm. It's not just a matter of the head knowledge, it's a matter of mm-hmm. daily trusting.
Well, I want to get to the stories from the youngins.
Yeah, let's do that.
Marie, let's start with Marie. Now, Marie, you're an adult now, married and into your professional career. What are some of your earliest memories of family prayer and praying the catechism together?
Well, to be honest, Andy, most of the time I found it very annoying. Like, Dad, if you weren't ready to go and it was time for family devotion, then he would say, "Is that more important than God?"
If you still had
breakfast, tough luck. We're having devotion.
If you still had wet hair, you still had to pray.
She is exactly right.
Yeah, so, and another thing I clearly remember is when we learned the hymn, "Lift High the Cross," we marched around the house and lifted high across and singing this song all across the house, which was really fun at the time, but might be embarrassing now that we're older.
Oh, I think it would be great to see that now that you're older. Maybe your next family get-together, you can do that. Everybody
right,
get together and march around the house.
But it really taught me that, it's really important to make God a part of your schedule and a part of your daily life, not just on Sunday. You got to make the time. The other stuff will figure itself out.
How has it benefited you in any way?
Well, it's benefited me. First of all, it taught me that it's okay to pray out loud, because as part of our family devotions, we go around and say our petitions, and that can be kind of scary sometimes, but I'd had so much practice when I was little that it's not a big deal to pray for petitions out loud. Another thing, we got to learn a lot of cool new hymns and that we might have never heard of. We learned through family devotions. Another, as far as it was our schedule from 7 to 7:30, we had daily devotions. If you weren't ready for school, tough luck. If you didn't eat breakfast, tough luck. It was in the schedule. So it's just like God is, in our life, just like brushing your teeth every single day. It's a time to pray and a time to reflect and a good way to start your day. And so as an adult, it may not be a big deal to miss a Bible study or church on Sunday, but if you're not in the habit of making God in your daily life, you can kind of easily loses its importance. It should be in your life every day. Those other things, it'll make time, but it's not really that much of your day.
I appreciate how you compared it to something as simple as brushing your teeth every day. You don't really want to pass that up either, for your sake and probably for everyone else's. Simple things that we do on a daily basis. It's just a simple thing that you just do it as part of your day. Adam, right. Adam, your thoughts on your memories. You laughed at the marching around with Lift High the Cross, but what are your memories from your childhood?
Very similar in regards to the fact that often, and this is somewhat encouraging, I think, to parents, is that we found it irritating. And that may sound weird at first, but it's I mean, like brushing your teeth, it's something you ought to do every day, but sometimes brushing your teeth is a chore, and you don't want to do it. And but it's good that you do, not just for yourself, but for other people. And so that was one of the things that I remember, is that even when, you know, I didn't want to do it, my parents weren't satisfied to let me harm myself spiritually in that way. And they encouraged me and made me participate in prayer and focusing my day and orienting my day around Scripture and talking with God. And so that has been a lasting memory for me. And it's also just, it's a huge aid for confirmation. When you get to confirmation, it's a huge aid to have not only learned some of the words already, but mm-hmm. you've seen it more practically applied into your life, because you're, like Marie said, you're literally taking time out of your schedule to set it aside for God.
It's a habit that's established early on for you,
right?
As long as you can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Will, your thoughts, your fond memories, your not so fond memories, and also how it's benefited you.
Yeah, I guess for looking back on the irritating part of it, you could definitely, one thing that struck me was, even if it maybe made us late for school, we'd still, if we're running short on time, we'd still set aside time to do that, which really showed the priority to me, because we definitely valued going to school and education, and that, well, you know, we never took vacations during the school year and things like that, but we still set aside time for devotions, which set a big precedent for my life. But looking back on something that I maybe didn't realize at the time but value a lot now is the prayer. A lot of times, even in strong Christian families, it can be kind of weird to share your troubles with your parents, just because of that, you know, that separation. Mm-hmm. They're not your peers type thing. But prayer added a really great avenue to have that conversation where I'm just talking with God about what's going on in my life, and more, even more so, my parents are talking to God in front of me and sharing what's going on in their hearts as well, which was a big deal that makes a lot really easy conversation with my parents because of how open we were about our lives.
Hmm. And I can jump in on that real
Absolutely.
Quick.
Absolutely.
Cheryl and I have often talked about, now, Marie, as you can tell, never held back from saying what was on her mind.
But she's got a gift.
The boys, you know, you really didn't know what was going on in those little heads until they started doing their prayers as part of our family devotions. And then you'd find out what they were concerned about, what they were looking forward to, all of those kinds of things, because they were so comfortable in that context talking to God about it, even mm-hmm. more comfortable doing that perhaps than talking to their parents about things that were going on. Because it was done in a way of petitions for faith and helping them for the day.
So that helped you, I'm sure, in communication, did it not, as
oh, yeah.
a family?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the things we struggled with, as me being a pastor, all the evening meetings, that we would have a hard time eating meals together, okay? And I think it's really important for families to gather together in communion and community, and that can often be around the meal, and that's a great place to have devotions, too, if you can pull it off. We just couldn't do that because of our schedules and everything. So we would have that time every day together, mm-hmm. The conversations and the actual, and as we'll share later on, we didn't just get together and recite the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. There are a lot of other things that went on into that outline. But the times that we had devotions, we would talk about issues going on in the family and things that were happening that day in school. And it could have been something that was brought to light through the prayers that the children were praying. And it gave us that wonderful dynamic of being a good communicating family. And there wasn't anything really we couldn't talk about then. And the same goes today. I mean, we can be very open about anything.
I want to say children, but you're all adults now. To the children.
I don't mind it.
Was there ever a time there was something you were afraid to pray for or to pray about? You prayed it, but you were nervous about praying it or bringing it up before your parents, that
praying together gave you the opportunity to bring it up?
Well, there was, when you're thinking of your prayer, especially if it's something you don't want other people to know specifics about, you phrase it in a careful way. So you use general words and vague terms.
We never heard any girls' names in those prayers.
But the thing I think when I look back is I'm thinking I'm being clever as a child, but you know, my parents probably, at least if they didn't know specifics, they knew generally what it was about. And the cool thing when you're praying together as a family, even if you're the only one speaking, you know that as brothers and sisters in Christ, they are praying in support of your prayer. So even their silent presence while they're praying with you, it's not just you praying.
Hmm. What an encouragement to families to hear that something as simple as this can open the door to a family praying together to make it easy. In essence, it might be kind of challenging hard at first, but what helps you get over that hurdle, Pastor Thompson?
Well, I think Marie summed it up well when she said that this demonstrated that we're just facing the reality that God is the most important person in our life. He is truly our significant other. He's our holy God, and he is present with us in Christ, our Savior. And, you know, I never thought of the kids as being irritated by that. That's somewhat of a revelation to me. Because I just felt that that was part of the daily struggle of always, you know, mm-hmm. keeping your focus on God. And you know, if that is your starting point, then everything else kind of falls into place, you know, including the need to have, you know, to make sure this happens every day and to encourage one another in it.
Hmm. All good stuff. In the second segment, we're actually going to dig a little bit deeper into the how, dig a little bit more. But just give us an idea of, Pastor, if you can give us an idea of what the structure looks like. We've got about 2 minutes before we go to break. And I know when we come back from break, we're actually going to join together in family prayer.
Yeah, we're
going
to invite everyone to join the Thompsons in praying their devotions. The structure, I like to compare it to the Sunday service, the liturgy. Mm-hmm. And with the liturgy, you have things that are called ordinaries and things that are called propers. And ordinaries are those sections of the service that stay the same from week to week. You know, your confession of sins, the Gloria, all of those different sections, those major canticles. And then you have things called the propers, and those are the particular readings and the hymns and those things that are specific to that day in the church calendar. Well, in this way, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer are the ordinary. That's what we would do every day. That's what Luther envisioned with the Catechism. Now, that would be supplemented with things that were specific for that period of time. And we would, as Marie said, we would sing a hymn. Mm-hmm. And we usually would sing hymns, and the kids like singing hymns. And today, you know, you have a lot of opportunity with MP3 and all that kind of stuff for accompaniment. And we would learn those by heart. That would be followed by an invocation, you know, simply in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, then the Ten Commandments. And then we would have a devotion, age appropriate, and then the Apostles' Creed, then the prayers from the heart, as the boys have been talking about here. And then the Lord's Prayer, and then a short little benediction that I learned from Dr. Corby from Revelation chapter 1. So that's the basic structure, and it would be 10 to 15 minutes if we didn't have enough time. We would just do the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, and our ex corde, our from the heart prayers, and we could do that in 5 minutes if we had to.
And if you have it all committed to memory, you can do it on the run.
We can share with you some of the interesting places we've had devotions.
Well, we're talking with the Thompson family about Luther's Small Catechism as a handbook for family prayer. Stick around. We're going to join together in family prayer right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I just returned from Ecuador, where I spoke at an international conference on post-abortion syndrome. I addressed the anguish of fathers of aborted babies. Participants came from all over South America and were very diverse, but we all had one thing in common. Our hearts ache for mothers and fathers who emotionally struggle after choosing abortion. Some attendees were motivated because of a past abortion. Others, like me, just want to alleviate suffering. This was my fourth trip to South America. I love these outgoing, friendly people so much. My wife and I have decided to learn Spanish to better minister to them. Please pray for us in this new endeavor. The next regional meeting will be in Colombia in less than 2 years. I'd like to address them in Spanish.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, extending a warm invitation for you to join me for Moments of Assurance each weekday from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO. Each day I'll share scriptural encouragement along with practical thoughts, humor, trivia, news items, wonderful Christ-centered songs and hymns. It's a great spiritual recipe for your noontime hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance, underwritten in part by Mid-American Coaches and Children's Christian Concern Society, an LCMS recognized service organization.
Get ready for Giving Tuesday, December 3rd, when people around the world will join in making gifts to their favorite charities. Make a gift to the LCMS Global Mission Fund. Your gift will have an impact felt around the world and be used exclusively to support the Church's Witness, Mercy, Life Together efforts. To witness to God's Word and share the mercy of Christ, make your gift at lcms.org/givingtuesday.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
President Barack Obama's controversial health care law is headed for a new Supreme Court showdown over companies' religious objections to the law's birth control mandate. The Obama administration is defending a provision that requires most employers that offer health insurance to their workers to cover contraception. AP Supreme Court correspondent Mark Sherman says roughly 40 for-profit companies have sued, arguing they should not be forced to cover some or all forms of birth control because doing so would violate their religious beliefs.
This case is interesting because it makes a claim about the rights of corporations and whether corporations have religious rights akin to those of individuals.
The issue has divided lower courts. The high court is considering whether to take the case at a closed-door meeting. Sherman says if at least four justices agree,
this would probably be argued in late March with a decision expected by the end of June.
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. It is Tuesday, November 26th, and we are talking about, we're discussing the Small Catechism as a handbook for family prayer. And we're talking with Reverend Dr. Mark Thompson from Zion Lutheran Church in Peavey and the Thompson family, minus one. We're discussing how can the Small Catechism serve as a structure, a foundation for family prayer, and how to keep it simple so that the family can join in prayer regularly. And as promised, before we went to break, we said we would join together in family prayer when returning. And Marie is joining us by phone. I don't know how time-wise that'll work out for you, if everything will work out, but hopefully Marie can join us in as well. So, Pastor, will you lead us in family prayer?
Yeah, I might mention that this is the second time we have done this today, because when we got up this morning, we had our regular family devotions, and since Adam and Will are home on break from from college and vicarage, it was nice to do that. But we also did something that was kind of neat. We've been Skyping in some of Adam's college students from the campus ministry at Virginia Tech, and they participate in it just like we're doing right now over the radio, and that was kind of fun.
And just like Marie gets to join us as well
today.
That's
right. That's right. So, Marie, we're going to sing the doxology instead of singing a full hymn, and then just pray the catechism, and we will after. I did bring a little devotion because I want to use that as an example. It's from Portals of Prayer, which we'll do after the Ten Commandments before the Creed, and then we'll do our Ex Corde prayers right here on the radio. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. All right. So let's begin with the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Okay, and the little devotion, and when the kids were young, we would do something appropriate to their age, and right now, Cheryl and I are actually reading excerpts from Grace Upon Grace, a CPH book by Dr. John Kleinig that we're really enjoying, but I just chose Portals of Prayer, and the devotion for today from that for Tuesday, November 26th. And if you would like, you could read the psalm suggested in the extended section of the epistle. I'm just going to read the single verse that the devotion's based on. Ephesians 3:16, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. Ephesians 3:16. Now, Adam, would you want to read the devotion out of the Portals of Prayer here?
This devotion is entitled Paul's Prayer. I fell to my knees with the pain of it all. How could I watch a person I love being caught and held in the struggles of sin and sorrow? My fixer personality was powerless to solve the situation. We probably all know family and friends who hold hurts inside their heart. There are those with scarred pasts who have built a wall around themselves to block the offered joy of living in Christ's forgiveness. Those with broken relationships, depression, loneliness, or addiction. We can plainly see the hurt that exists in this fallen world, and we desperately long for our loved ones to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. This is when we come to the prayer Paul prayed for his friends in Ephesus. As you read these beautiful words, fall on your knees, replace you with the names of the hurting, or even your own name, and use God's own living word as a petition to the great physician. Then read the promise of verse 20, we certainly aren't helpless concerning the hurts of our friends. We have the power of prayer and God's word.
Okay, and Willie, you want to read the little sentence prayer at the end of that?
God of the hurting, comfort those who are in pain today and bring them your hope. Amen.
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 Okay, now in response to the word of God and the devotion, we confess our faith. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Okay, now we'll do our ex corde prayers, and I'll start it off, and then why don't we just go in order of age, and we'll start this time with the youngest and go to the oldest. And Andy, you're welcome to join in at the end if you like.
All right.
And we our practice to signal to everyone that we're done is to say, Lord, in your mercy, and we all say, hear our prayer, indicating that those are our prayers now too. And we did our devotions in the morning, so I always start off with Luther's morning prayer. Let us pray. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Gracious God, thank you for this opportunity to share on the radio the blessing of your word that we have experienced in our family, where your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has been and continues to be an intimate keystone part of our daily life, and knowing his grace and knowing that through him we have this relationship with you. I thank you for Marie, Adam, and Will, and Cheryl, and their support all these years, and now Philip, as Marie and Philip have their life together. Dear Lord, bless our country, and as it tends to move more and more away from you as we approach this Thanksgiving, help Christians everywhere to refocus and to set an example for our society in giving thanks and going to church at Thanksgiving and rejoicing in your gifts and your grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, I want to thank you for all the safe travels home for this break and safe travels for all those moving around for the holidays. Thank you for family and the time we get to spend with them this week. Please be with, thank you for my friend Craig for his 22nd birthday yesterday, for blessing him with 22 years of life and hopefully many more. I'll be with my roommate Tim as he's got his med school interview today. Help him to trust in you and to put his confidence in you and not to be nervous, to be able to say what he wants to clearly and concisely. Please be with myself this week and everyone else who has homework coming up for finals week, that they're able to enjoy their breaks with their families but also put the work in that needs to be done for the end of the semester. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the blessings that you continually shower on us, your unworthy and undeserving servants. I thank you for helping me to establish the daily devotion practice that I experienced as a blessing in my family life out at Virginia Tech with Lutheran Outreach on campus there. And I pray that that becomes a blessing for them as it has been for me. And I pray for strength and encouragement as we set out to establish that as a habit, to set aside time each day in our lives to orient it around you. I also ask you thanksgiving for keeping me safe on my long drive from Virginia, and I ask that you keep Marie and Philip safe as they drive to Columbia in the next couple of days. And also just for us to not take for granted all the blessings that you give us in this time of Thanksgiving, to really understand that you really are the source of all the good in our lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for my family and the wonderful life they have given us in you. And I also echo that we have safe travels as we're going home for Thanksgiving, but I thank you that I have time off and I don't have to work on Thanksgiving this year to see my family. And I want to thank you that one of my patients who was in a terrible car accident was able to walk away with very minimal scratches. And just thank you so much for all your blessings. I really feel them every day, especially with this new move and the transition. I was able to find a job and a house, and we already have a bunch of new friends. So your blessings are apparent every day. Thank you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the many gifts you've given us in this life. I thank you for the gift of a healthy child and a loving wife and a wonderful family and friends and congregations to support us in this life that you've given us, life together. Lord, we thank you for Worldwide KFUO and the opportunity to tell the good news about Jesus in so many places. And we pray that you would continue to use KFUO, Worldwide KFUO, to bring the good news of Jesus to people who have not yet heard it. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. And I have one other I got to jump in on. Dear Lord, please be with myself and the rest of the staff at Zion who are under the weather right now with Pastor Harold and our administrative assistant, Laura, and with our families that we can get healed up here at this time of the year. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. The Lord Almighty order our days and our deeds in his peace.
Amen.
And then off to work we go.
Amen.
Just like it says in the catechism.
And joyfully, too.
That's right.
What a blessing. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. That is a great way to begin the day, even or continue in the middle of the day, whatever time of day it works for you.
Right.
I really appreciate the opportunity to pray together these things that God has given us in his word and passed on throughout the history of the church to remind us daily that he is the one that provides for all our needs. Now, you mentioned before we went to break earlier, you mentioned that there are some just unique places that the Thompson family has prayed together when traveling or when on the run, when schedules get tight. It sounds like there are some stories behind those.
Yeah, I'll let some of the kids share a few of those that they can think of.
Marie,
I remember when we were in Colorado, we hiked to the top of this Twin Peaks mountain, and we had devotions at the top of that.
Yep. I'm sure that was beautiful.
It was very inspired.
Probably exhausted by the time you got there, hard to pray, huh?
Yeah.
The neat thing is, you know, we could have devotions wherever we were at because we didn't, you know, it was all in our heads, and we didn't need to have anything with us, so even when we were hiking. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, not just the catechism, but also, as you pointed out, the hymns too, learning the hymns as a family so that you can take those with you wherever you go and you don't have to carry something with you all the time. It takes time to develop that, to have that in your repertoire as a family, but what a great gift that is to be able to carry that with you wherever you go.
When you start when they're little, the kids just soak it up like sponges and they remember them better than we as adults did.
And may not necessarily remember, they may remember the words differently than they're actually written too.
Mm-hmm. They're very prepared for catechesis.
Yeah, one of the things that we did, and this is a kind of a word out to all of the families who might try this, if their children are younger, say grade school age, is that instead of saying the Ten Commandments, we would say for about 2 weeks or 3 weeks, we would speak the first three commandments and their meaning instead. So it still only lasted 10 to 15 minutes. Or when they were, we would maybe say the first article and the explanation of the Apostles' Creed. Or instead of the devotion, we would simply recite other sections of the catechism. And that made it more of a prayer instead of just memory work drudgery.
It's not just something you memorize, memory work drudgery. That's a nice way of putting it. We're talking with Reverend Dr. Mark Thompson from Zion Lutheran Church, Peavey and family, about the catechism, using Luther's Small Catechism as a handbook for family prayer. If you have a question today for the Thompson family, a question about the topic, you're welcome to give us a call. Here in the St. Louis area, the number is 314-821-0850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727, or you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. Any other interesting places that the Thompson family has prayed?
Well, we took the devotions to a lot of times when we did camping trips with our youth group. So that would be, you know, we took Philmont is a backpacking camp in New Mexico. So really any given day we were on some mountain doing a devotion, and then also at SBRF Scout Ranch we'd go there as a venturing crew, and you'd do an overnight in the tree houses there. So I remember doing a devotion in the tree houses. It was kind of fun.
We had a big sweet gum tree in the front yard in Monette when I was serving at St. John's Lutheran in Monette, and we did family devotions. We liked to climb that tree. So we all climbed the tree and about 20 feet up in the air had our devotions up there. Neighbors probably thought we were crazy. And I remember we got a new trampoline and we did it on the trampoline one time.
Oh, and yeah, I remember that.
It was always, you know, that made it more fun and exciting. And I think we did some in that tree house in the backyard there in Monette too, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily always have to be in the same place. It can be in a unique place that is easy to gather everybody. Now, when you were on the trampoline, was everybody jumping?
Probably.
No, I believe that being a rule.
No jumping. Pastor, other thoughts on the value or the importance of praying together, the small catechism?
I think Adam had something he wanted to jump in on here.
Sure. Well, one of the things that I came to realize, because I've just started on my vicarage to teach catechism, is that when you set aside this memorization drudgery, as we earlier described it, and replace it with this daily repetition and devotions, and it makes it more prayer-oriented, the other thing that it does that I think Lutherans are especially susceptible to is making Christianity just a subject to study. Mm. It becomes just information to process and to know. But when you have to set aside some part of your schedule, your day, you know, if you do it early in the morning, you can't stay up really late anymore, or you have to get up earlier than you would like to, it really starts to break into that idea that Christianity is not just a body of knowledge, but it's a way of living, it's a state of being. So that, I think, is one of the big benefits to it. And I think one of the reasons that I was so keen to start it with the students in my vicarage is I think, in especially in a college environment, it's so easy to just turn it into a subject to study and to dissect rather than to let it work on you.
I'm certain, yeah, in an academic setting, you look at this small book and think, oh, that's just one more thing to read, one more thing to do, one more thing to try to memorize. But I like how you've pointed that out. It becomes part of your life, your lifestyle, your day.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that brought to mind as Adam was talking is how this is really part of spiritual warfare. All of the kids earlier commented on how, you know, it was irritating that they had to be there at a certain time. And we found, Cheryl and I did, over time that we just had to make a kind of a no excuse policy. And it only happened once or twice if Marie didn't get her hair curled or had to go to school without doing that, or Adam missed breakfast or what have you. Because the devil wants to do anything he can to keep us from doing this. Mm-hmm. It's really spiritual warfare, and the fact that you can, you know, you hang in there with that, and the blessings so far outweigh, you know, the roadblocks get thrown at you. It really is. And when you sit down and think about it, it's very doable. And I have a list of things that I'll share with you that I think are important for the practice.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. First, it needs to be a short period of time, maximum of 15 minutes, really. And I don't know how long we prayed there, but we had five of us, mm-hmm. and we had pretty lengthy prayers, but I bet it was still 15 minutes. It needs to be a set time in the schedule. So every day, and it kind of depended on, Marie said 7 to 7:30, but when she was swimming before school, we had to get up even earlier. So, and it worked that way for us. You had to have a set time, though, and a set place.
A set time. You mentioned Marie swimming in the morning. So that means then if one person has another commitment before school or what have you, that changes the whole family schedule. So that means the whole family has to make those decisions together. It's not just one person.
That's right. Yep. And we do agree, we would agree on a time. I mean, the kids didn't have a whole lot of say in that. And then you have to have a spiritual leader, and that is me in our home. And that means that's the person who has to kind of say, we're accountable to this. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of agreed by everybody that we're going to let that person be the leader. And, you know, and I think ideally in homes that would be the father. Sometimes it doesn't work that way, but somebody yeah. has to have that responsibility and the others have to support them in that. And, using the catechism, all you have to have is a basic understanding of it, a Luther Small Catechism. And here we're talking about the beginning, the stuff at the front of the maroon Luther Small Catechism book. Not all the questions and answers, just the right. just the basic elements. And then if you need a CD player or MP3 or something, if you're going to sing, and music is really an important part of devotions. Mm-hmm. I think our kids would agree that it's not the same without that.
And you don't have to be a really musical family. You don't have to be great singers like the Thompson family. You can be everyday Joe Schmo and sing these hymns to the best of your ability.
Right. But, you know, as you sing a lot, it does help you get better at singing, though, when you sing every day.
Yeah. And the Bible just says, make a joyful noise. It doesn't say what kind of noise it has to be.
Right, just joyful.
Joyful.
So those are just some thoughts, but making that commitment, and as Marie, Adam, and Will have stressed here, you know, putting God first and realizing this is a very tangible way to do that in daily life, I think mm-hmm. is really at the heart of it.
As teenagers, when your friends, did you talk about this around your friends, at school? What did they know that this was something the Thompson family did on a regular basis? Or if you were late, did you explain to them that you were late because your family was praying together?
For myself, probably not. I don't think I did make that a big public thing. Just my tendencies. But one thing I did notice, is that maybe I would have thought that weird to tell someone else about it, but it did really affect my day. Looking back, like in college now, you hear all these like awesome conversion stories people have had. But at the same time, like I'm kind of cool with my boring story where just without even realizing almost every day, there wasn't a time where it was weird then, at least in our family dynamic, where it was weird that we put like authority on scripture whenever we actually had problems in the world. It wasn't weird to me that we went to the Bible to solve problems or for authority. It wasn't something that I thought wasn't like odd or annoying or anything. So
mm-hmm. Marie?
Yeah, like it was just part of our day. I didn't really think it was worth mentioning. I do remember once that I knew that I was expected, even after like being up late for prom, I knew I was expected the next day in church. So there's no point in even thinking about it. So it's the same thing with family devotions. Like, you know, it was just in our schedule, God was in our daily life. And, you know, it wasn't a huge deal because it was just like I was saying, brushing your teeth, you know?
Adam?
The other thing too is since we had chosen to do it so early in the morning, there wasn't a whole lot of schedule conflict. With things that I would be talking about with my friends, but I would tell people about it, and especially after high school, I told people about it a lot because I started to really realize the benefits to and the blessings that I received from that practice. Mm-hmm. You don't quite, contrary to what we would think when we're in high school, we don't quite understand all of what's going on and what's really good for us. And my dad can probably attest to that. The older you get, the more you realize the benefits and the blessings and really how much you owe to a practice like this.
It is. I can see it just in seeing you guys grow up over the years, too. So, well, Thompson family, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. We did get an email, but I'm sorry we didn't get to it, but it looks like it's fan mail for Vicar Adam anyway. So thanks so much to the Thompson family for spending some time with us today and helping us understand that the small catechism really can serve as a great tool for family prayer. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Moments of Assurance right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.